This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury here in the studio with
Christine Wong.
It is Tuesday, the 24th of May, 2022, 12:06 here in the studio. First of a two-parter today, we're talking about global consumer trends. Obviously, today is part one. What are the changes in consumer trends post-pandemic? And more importantly, what are the driving forces that can be utilized to adjust to and take advantage of these consumer trends for the foreseeable future? Market research company Mintel has identified five new consumer trends for 2022 and beyond. We're going to be talking about that. COVID-19, then, is said to have shattered forecasts that normally guide consumer goods retailers and suppliers. In fact, consumer habits have changed tremendously during the pandemic. So let's have a look at a couple. An example back home. Pre-pandemic, Malaysians who live in the city spent 44% of their disposable income on travel and 41% on dining out. Post-pandemic, a Nielsen study reported that Malaysians have instead spent the most on health products and pantry stockpiling. Mm. And of course, online purchases have surged 149% within a year of the pandemic. No matter how unsurprising these numbers are in hindsight, it's definitely caught retailers and suppliers off guard, especially Malaysian businesses that operate on more conventional and traditional business models. In these unpredictable times, pivoting and reinventing your business by understanding customer behavior is the most important component to not only revitalize businesses, but future-proof yourself for unpredictable times.
Mm-hmm. So in order to monitor consumer motivations, market researcher Mintel has categorized five consumer trends for 2022 and beyond. Now, amongst these five, we will just be talking about two today. We'll leave the others for tomorrow. So do stay tuned and do tune into tomorrow's show as well. But the first one we're going to talk about, the first consumer trend predicted by Mintel, is enjoyment everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, naturally, after enduring a two-year-long pandemic and countless lockdowns, consumers are looking to break free, break out of their confines, and have fun.
Yes.
This enjoyment is not merely found in the physical world. It also includes the virtual space as well. Now, in terms of enjoyment in real-world spaces, consumers are looking at the decongestion of urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
Mintel found that across the South APAC region, consumers are still gravitating towards working in city centers for higher pay and opportunities as the market opens up. But with more companies also pivoting towards remote and hybrid working, people are also actually looking outwards a little more to live in suburbs, to be closer to family and nature.
I have friends who've done this.
Mm.
It's especially true when housing remains inaccessible to many in big cities, of course, because of pricing structures.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, the pandemic has also forced a reset to our habits and allowed us a little bit to take the time to connect with our surroundings. This is not likely to fade anytime soon, and it's predicted that many want to go out, explore and connect with our surroundings, specifically, you know, out and about within nature.
Mm-hmm.
This is what enjoyment everywhere means in the context of the physical world.
Yeah. But also, you know, unfortunately, we do have to take into account that enjoyment costs money a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And inflation kind of becomes inevitable. Topic-wise, when we speak about enjoyment, it's now become a stumbling block for many to spend as maybe a little mindlessly as pre-pandemic or even just a week before. If you haven't heard the news, by next week, Malaysian food prices will be surging by 60%, which is pretty intense.
That boggles my mind.
Boggles the mind. And, you know, in the wake of the pandemic, in the wake of this increased awareness about health, a lot of us are still holding back, maybe more than before. And now we've got news of hand, foot and mouth disease. We've got news of monkeypox making the rounds. So it's not surprising that many are still being pushed to seek online leisure and entertainment and services instead of leaving the house still. So it's predicted that home tech, e-commerce and delivery services are still going to remain strong in the coming future. They are not going anywhere. So seeking enjoyment at home is also part of these key trends.
Yep. As usual, as we go through along this list and if you want to take part, get in touch with us, folks. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. Moving on then. So out of the seven key drivers behind this trend, enjoyment everywhere, the drivers are experiences, technology, and well-being. Mm. Therefore, businesses can incorporate these drivers and elements into their products or services to ease anxiety and depression, as well as simply allowing consumers to be immersed in new realms and virtual environments for stress relief, fun, and escapism. Mm-hmm. Brands can already surprise and delight customers in unexpected places like daily routines. As comfort with technology grows, consumers will use it to find new areas of joy.
Yeah, so for instance, Mintel found that 48 of Indian consumers strongly agree that they seek fun in all aspects of life. 55% of the Thai consumers aged 35 to 44 years old said that they always look for new food or flavors to try when ordering from restaurants. And 71% of Malaysians agree that most of their leisure activities now involves using digital technology as well. So in brief, seeking enjoyment everywhere is one of the big consumer trends to look out for in 2022.
All right, we are going to take a short break. We've got some music from Rainbow with Since You've Been Gone. As I mentioned just a moment or two ago, if you want to get in touch and talk to us about your enjoyment everywhere, perhaps 018-789-8899 is the number. Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break. We're right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're back with Enterprise BizBytes. It's me, Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Christine Wong.
If you're only just joining us, we are talking about global consumer trends, part one of a two-parter that we've got going. What are the changes in consumer trends post-pandemic? And more importantly, what are the driving forces that can be utilized to adjust to and make advantage of these consumer trends for the foreseeable future? Market research company Mintel has identified five new consumer trends for 2022 and beyond. We've been going through a couple of them. We're going to be moving on to another one in just a moment. And the new one is climate complexity. Mm-hmm. Before we get to that, though, just a reminder of how you can get in touch. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. And Twitter, we are at BFM Radio, right, Chris?
Yes, we are. Yep. So, as you mentioned, the second key consumer trend to look out for is climate complexity. Obviously, climate crisis concern is reaching its peak. And as consumers are growing more conscious about what goes behind the products they are purchasing, whether there was forced labor, whether ethical raw material was involved, many South APAC governments, including Malaysia, have pledged their commitment to net zero by 2050. Mm. So now that these goals have been set, consumers will rely on the governments to regulate and monitor progress. Consumers will also expect private companies to show substantial improvements in this space. But something for businesses to keep in mind is that while most consumers around this region are aware of the urgency of the climate crisis, many less privileged consumers would argue that their personal and family well-being takes priority, even as they are likely to be the most adversely affected by worsening conditions.
What drives the consumer trend of climate complexity are surroundings, rights, and value out of the seven key drivers. So for brands that are unsure how to start their sustainability journey, transparency is the key. Consumers are similarly confused about how to make the biggest impact. So brands should set goals and explain how they plan to reach them. As consumers' understanding of climate change will continue to grow, they will become increasingly more direct in their calls for action and expect tools to be available to support their decisions. Tying cost-cutting exercises with sustainability will allay concerns of budget-conscious consumers. So essentially, looking at this consumer trend, businesses that are honest, transparent, and put sustainability into true and actionable practice will be leading the market.
Mm.
This is interesting because not too long ago, of course, when I've been doing a whole bunch of shows for a particular client, this is something we've been talking about a lot.
Yes.
Transparency absolutely is key. You know, and when a company says that they're going to be sustainable, There are so many ways now that there are people who are spotting these companies who say they're sustainable, when in actuality they're not. They're just greenwashing. And people
I was about to say, right, that's like one of the new key words that has popped up is greenwashing. This idea that you say on paper, ironically, that you are sustainable, and then in reality you're maybe not following through with these practices or following through with the initiatives that you put forward. And I think overall, generally speaking, we are searching for a more authentic experience when it comes to our interactions with brands, right, as consumers. I mean, the first trend that we covered was enjoyment everywhere, right? So that's looking at finding a relief from the stresses of everyday life, from the overall stresses of the news and all these diseases that we're hearing about and political machinations and all that stuff. And that involves getting in touch with brands that feel fun, that feel authentically, you know, down to earth, right? Mm-hmm. You want to engage with brands that you feel that you can connect with on an emotional level in that sense. And then in terms of transparency with the climate complexity trend, again, like you mentioned, it's about making sure that they're not greenwashing. And I think consumers are becoming a lot more aware and a lot more proactive in doing their research about brands too. That's the other thing, you know. I think we used to sort of take companies' words for granted before. And now we're really looking into it and going, okay, but is what they're saying matching up with what they're doing, really?
I think it's a really interesting thing to look at, specifically for the last 2 years. Because if we rewind to the beginning of this pandemic and the beginning of this lockdown, first set of lockdowns, what we were looking for and looking to were companies that could help us push forward technologically wise, you know, very, very quickly. We've got to go hybrid. We've got to go online. We've got to do all of these things. And we did very, very rapidly. And I think the idea of sustainability and greening things kind of got put on halt for a while.
A little bit.
You know, as we all kind of rushed to like, okay, we still need to work. How do we do this? You know.
Yes.
And then when you're sat at home and you're able to look out your window a little bit more and you're able to spend a bit more time, it's only then that we've actually stopped and had that breather, right? And just gone, oh, I would prefer to work with and be supported by companies that are sustainable.
Yeah, we've sort of had the privilege of having the space to become more ethical consumers because of the pandemic. And I think another element of the pandemic that's affected that is its impact on, for example, recyclables, right? Its impact on the environment as well. There was a lot of talk, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, the sort of joke of like, wow, there's no pollution, there's no... But it's true. And I think it sort of shook us into realizing really the individual impact that we do have on the environment and has really spurred our future consumer decisions. And now I get frustrated when I get takeaway food and it's in the plastic box again. And, you know, I really get pleasantly surprised when I get those cardboard containers, for example, you know, or something that's reusable. And it makes me feel better and it makes me feel more inclined to continue consuming from that company.
With that said, though, on the other side of that coin is the fact that we're seeing online purchasing rise by 149% or whatever the figure was, you know. So that idea of balancing that, and when we are looking at these fast fashion companies that we know are just...
And packaging.
And the packaging that comes with that. It's ridiculous. And it almost feels like we fall into these two categories. These people who are sat at home just like click, 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 you know? And the other one's going, why do you keep clicking that? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think they're necessarily from in different households either.
They're not from two separate households, that's for sure. That's for sure. Anyway, so the two consumer trends by Mintel we covered today are enjoyment everywhere and climate complexity. Targeting these two using the drivers we mentioned can help you and your business to thrive in 2022 and the years forward. There are three more consumer trends that we'll be sharing tomorrow, but keep it here as we'll be speaking to Matthew Crabb, Regional Trends Director, Asia Pacific at Mintel Group after these messages. We've got some music from The Martinis. This is Free here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Be Free, Malaysia, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And you're back with Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I am Christine Wong.
It is Tuesday, the 24th of May, 2022, 12:30. We're talking about global consumer trends and what are some of the changes in consumer trends post-pandemic? More importantly, what are the driving forces that can be utilised to adjust and take advantage of these consumer trends for the foreseeable future? Market research company Mintel has identified five new consumer trends for 2022 and beyond. We've been going through a couple of them. Enjoyment everywhere was the first one. And the second one we had was climate complexity. Now, on the phone line with us is Matthew Crabb. He is the Regional Trends Director for Asia Pacific at Mintel Group. He's going to help us put some of this stuff into context and help share some of these details. Matthew, just briefly, can you tell us about the seven drivers that will impact consumers, consumers according to Mintel, please?
Mintel has seven consumer drivers. So we have well-being, surroundings, technology, rights, identity, value, and experiences. These essentially comprise all the different things, the different factors that influence people's decision-making, their behavior, their experiences. Essentially, these were built off the idea of social constructs, which are the kind of dialectic between individual consumers and their surroundings, their community, their countries, the people that they deal with, but also with brands, with organizations, governments, and so on. And essentially, these different aspects don't work in isolation from each other. They overlap. So, for example, if you walk up towards a convenience store, you may be looking at the store for thinking, well, this is a value store compared to the one next door. It's got cheaper prices. So there you're using the value driver. But also, you might look at the two stores, convenience stores next to each other and think, well, yes, but the other one looks nicer. It looks more inviting. It has a nicer ambiance. So that's your surroundings, really. So as you can see, there's a way that these drivers play off each other. So under each of the drivers, we have four pillars. So for example, with surroundings, we could be looking at sustainability, ethics, localism, and so on. Under well-being, we could be looking at things like psychological well-being, physical well-being, nutrition, fitness. Under technology, it could be early adopters, media, communications, or digital entertainment. So these all work together. And what we do with these is we try to encapsulate changes in consumer behavior over time based on research that we do. That research helps us to create our annual trends each year. Mintel has about 70 trends altogether, consumer trends, that is. For 2022, we created five new trends. Those are ethics check, climate complexity, in control, enjoyment everywhere, and flexible spaces. Now, each of these looks at a different aspect of consumer need, and also how consumers are engaging with, interacting with brands, and how that dialectic, that conversation between consumers and brands.
Absolutely. So, Matthew, could you just share with us a little bit more about how your research was conducted and also with whom it was conducted as well?
So for the last 3 years, Mintel has been doing research every 6 months on a global scale across 36 countries, 13 of which are in Asia Pacific. And in each market, we ask 1,000 consumers questions about the pillars and drivers. So we're measuring that over time across the world. We ask them questions about their shopping habits. We ask them about their use of technology and ownership of technology, their use and ownership of cars and other vehicles. We ask them about their financial situations. That comprises what we call our holistic consumer research. We also have research on food and drink and how people's purchasing, use of, thoughts about food are changing. And we also have a beauty and personal care research, which looks at people's usage of cosmetics products, personal care products, and home care products. So this research, as I say, has been going on for some time now. And what we're starting to see from that is the shift in data, market by market, region by region. Now, what that informs us is the changes in consumer behavior, attitudes, conversations, and so on. And that helps us to really identify which trends we create in any given year.
One of those trends was enjoyment everywhere. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that?
Now, for 2022, this year, one of the trends was enjoyment everywhere. So this was really a trend about how people are coming out of lockdown. Essentially, they are or have been become more and more cloistered. They wanted to escape from their homes and get back out into the world again. And so what this trend is really looking at is how people are getting back out into the world and finding joy in life again. Now, this is essentially a very positive trend, but it does highlight some of the shortcomings of new situations, because obviously the pandemic and the ensuing inflation issues have changed people's living environment. What that means is that they're looking for different types of entertainment. So some people have spent a lot of time online. So digital screen time, media and entertainment has become a major part of people's life. So one of the things that we're starting to see, for example, is more people trying to spend less time on the screen. What does that mean in terms of how they're behaving differently? Well, for example, in Indonesia, we have seen a lot of people starting to go from the cities out into the countryside and start looking for food. Now, this might sound like an apocalyptic scenario, but not, it isn't. Essentially, what they're doing is they're going out and reconnecting with nature and looking for traditional food sources that they would buy in stores or viewed as something that, you know, traditional lifestyles encompass, but not urban lifestyles. So this new kind of urban foraging is emerging. And what this sort of tells us, this is just a symptom of a wider thing of people trying to reconnect with nature, trying to reconnect with reality in many ways. On the other hand, and what we're starting to see is the convergence of real spaces and digital spaces. Now, there's been a lot of talk about metaverse, and we have seen retailers jumping to get into that particular space. But the question there is, do people really want just a representation of their real high street in the metaverse? Or are they looking for something different, not only digitally, but also in the real world? When people are going out shopping, are they simply shopping? Or are they going out for an experience, for enjoyment, to socialize? So that, again, as people come out of lockdowns, they're looking for something different. They're looking for something more real.
Okay, brilliant. I mean, I'd also love if you could share some other interesting findings from around the Southeast Asia Pacific region and what that means for brands. I mean, there's been interesting breakdowns of the Indian consumer market, what they might want, the Thai consumer markets. Would also love to know, obviously, what is in the future for Malaysian consumer trends based on the results of your survey as well.
Over time, we see changes in the consumer environment that changes their behaviors, their attitudes. One of the more interesting things that we saw across the region was at the end of last year, sustainability picked up quite considerably in APAC. So we have a question around sustainability, and the response rate to that went up by 5 percentage points in September of last year. However, come March of this year, that had dropped by 4 percentage points. So we see a fluctuation there. And this really talks to push and pull between sustainability and value, cost of living. For example, budget has gone back up again as an issue by only 2 percentage points, but that's still a trend that's going up. We're seeing that across the region. If we look, for example, at India, so last year, the sustainability question actually went down by minus 4 percentage points. And in March, it went up by 4 percentage points. So we're seeing a different shift in time in India. So sustainability is going up in the early part of this year. Budget has gone basically flat, if anything, in India. So what we're starting to sort of get from this is the idea that different countries have different environmental factors, different economic factors, different political factors. And what we're starting to see is that those environmental factors are influencing people in different ways in different markets. But what we're starting to see is that sort of the longer term discussion or thinking amongst consumers is very much that balancing of sustainability and the cost of living. Now, obviously, sustainability is a cost in itself. And obviously, if climate gets worse, as we talk about in the trend climate complexity, then consumers are going to be looking for ways to be more sustainable, to be more climate friendly. But also they're pressured by rising cost of living. So they're looking for affordability in the sustainability. Now, what that means is, yes, brands will be expected to become more sustainable, but without necessarily adding to the cost that consumers face. Now, this is an interesting question because then it comes back to this whole idea of, is sustainability affordable, or is it going to be expensive? That's only something that higher income people can afford.
Right. Sustainability does sound like something only people with a higher income could really afford. So what can brands do now to meet consumer expectations of sustainability?
When you talk about sustainability, it's about a system. And systems have different inputs. So you could think, for example, of the raw materials that companies buy to make their products. Products can be made from waste materials. So a recent example of this in South Korea, a brand has come up with new capsules for dispensing laundry liquid. And those capsules are made out of spent carbon powder. So what this means is that that input is probably cheaper. And there's many ways that brands can be looking at what they produce and what they waste and how they can turn that back into money. So, for example, a lot of manufacturing uses water. How do you recycle that water? If you can recycle that water and put it back into the system, can you reduce costs? Likewise, electricity. You can reduce the cost of the energy you consume and therefore reduce the price to the consumer. And again, you know, cost is an interesting subject. The whole concept of value, one of our drivers. Value is not just about cost. Also, so are ethics. Brands are being expected to be more ethical. So one of the key things is how companies work with their suppliers. Are they treating their suppliers fairly? Are they locally sourcing rather than sourcing from a long way away and therefore using a huge carbon footprint in terms of logistics? Now, all of these issues have an ethical bent to them. So I think we're starting to see this longer-term thinking amongst consumers about the real value of cost or the real cost of value and what it means in terms of sustainability. Cyclical production and distribution chains as supply chains, and where brands can cut costs. But there's no point in doing that unless you're telling consumers. I've been using the example of India's climate goals for 2070. It's all very well having those long-term goals, but that's abstract. What consumers really want is the road map to those goals. They want to see sort of next year, next 2, 3 years, 5 years, and so on. You know, from our research, we found that consumers are looking to brands to take a lead because they feel that brands have the opportunity to pivot faster than governments do. So what can brands do to make positive changes in the next 6 months, in the next year, but also to share those plans with consumers, to let them know when they've reached their goals or not, and be honest about why they didn't reach those goals? What were the impediments to reaching those goals? Because that gives consumers insight to what the brands are really trying to do and where they need help. And sometimes that help might come from consumers. Mm-hmm. So again, it's not just about a one-way conversation. It's about a two-way conversation with consumers.
Really interesting stuff. Thanks for that, Matthew. That, of course, was Matthew Crabb, the Regional Trends Director for Asia Pacific over at Mintel Group. Mm. What did you think about that then, Chris?
I thought that was really interesting. And I also appreciate the highlighting of the fact that thinking about a lot of these consumer trends and thinking about, you know, stuff like sustainability is not necessarily a privilege that's afforded to everyone, you know? I mean, fact of the matter is, for example, you know, taking a drink away from a place, for example, right? You get your Milo in like a little plastic bag, and that's something that is, you know, that's what that particular enterprise can afford. You know, they may not be able to afford, I mean, we've heard from so many people how packaging is so expensive to get, especially recyclable packaging or eco-friendly packaging. Yeah. You have to, it's the less mass-produced stuff, right? So all of this is sort of cyclical and everything sort of impacts each other. Mm-mm. And I just appreciate that. I think I appreciate that awareness because I think sometimes we do, I mean, you and I as well, just sitting here in the studio, we do need to, just make that a little bit more clear that not everyone has the space to think about that sort of stuff.
Not only that, but I think we shouldn't condemn, you know, companies and small businesses who can't immediately move to sustainability. Mm. And I think that becomes a bit of an issue. You have people who say, oh, I don't want the plastic this, I don't want the plastic that. That's fine, but as you just said, there are ways and reasons why they can't necessarily adopt those things straight away.
I think it's with any sort of social issue. The people or the companies that are able to accommodate you know, these needs and wants should do so, should and do should so, do yeah. so with, as Matthew mentioned, transparency
yeah.
and integrity.
Yeah.
Basically, so that the ones that can't afford to right now can continue to survive. Mm-hmm. I think that's really...
Okay, we'll be hearing more from Matthew tomorrow and looking at more insights on the Mintel report when it comes to global consumer trends. So make sure you do tune in, same time, same place tomorrow at noon on Enterprise Biz Bytes. But don't go anywhere because me and Chris have to wrap up. But coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. And from its beginning in 2015 as a remittance-focused fintech startup, MoneyMatch have since... executive almost executed $1 billion in total transactions, and most recently won one of the five coveted digital banking licenses from Bank Negara as part of a consortium led by KAF Investment Bank. The co-founder, Nason Munasamy, joined the Breakfast Grill this morning to outline the company's journey and plans for the future. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. To take us up there, some music from the Arctic Monkeys and a little bit of Meatloaf here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.